Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time, we're going super small to the nano world. We're talking about mapping electrical properties of a surface with detail down to a few atoms.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a super powerful microscope that can see the flow of electrons.
Seriously. And this isn't just some abstract scientific feat either, right? I mean, this has like huge implications for things like semiconductors, photovoltaics, quantum physics.
Absolutely. And the research we're diving into today is from the Department of Nanometrology at Wrocław University of Science and Technology in Poland.
Wrocław University. Okay.
Yeah. They published their findings in the journal Sensors.
Okay.
And let me tell you, these researchers are pushing the boundaries of what we can measure and understand at the nanoscale.
So what makes this Wrocław University such a powerhouse in nanometrology?
Well, they've invested heavily in cutting-edge facilities, and they've attracted some of the top talent in the field. Nanometrology requires just incredible precision and specialized equipment.
Yeah, for sure.
And Wrocław University has created this environment where these scientists can really thrive.
So what specifically are these researchers at Wrocław University focusing on?
They've developed three incredibly innovative approaches to measuring tiny currents with amazing accuracy.
Okay, now that's what I call a deep dive.
Yeah, we're talking about currents so small, it's like measuring the flow of individual electrons.
Whoa. Okay, let's hear about these techniques.
Okay, so the first one is called the MFTIA, which stands for Multiple Feedback Transimpedance Amplifier. It's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of current sensing.
Swiss Army knife, how so?
Well, imagine researchers trying to measure the electrical properties of a material, right? In the past, they often had to switch between different tools depending on the strength of the current.
Oh, I see.
That could be really time-consuming, and it could even damage the samples they were studying.
Oh, yeah.
The beauty of the MFTIA is that it combines two key measurement techniques, CAFM and SSRM.
Okay.
So it can handle a wide range of currents from incredibly tiny femtoamperes to much larger milliamperes.
So this MFTIA eliminates the need to constantly swap tools, which streamlines the research process and protects those precious samples.
Okay, very cool. I'm ready for technique number two.
Okay, the second technique is called an integrating current to voltage converter, or integrating CVC. And it achieves phenomenal resolution down to a few femtoamperes.
Hold on, remind me again, how small is a femtoampere?
A femtoampere is 10^15 of an ampere. To put that in perspective, it's like measuring a current so faint, it's as if just a handful of electrons are trickling through.
Wow. Okay. I definitely wouldn't want to be in charge of counting those electrons.
No, you wouldn't. So how this integrating current to voltage converter achieves such incredible precision is it carefully measures how long it takes for a tiny current to charge a capacitor. It's like using an electrical stopwatch to time the flow of individual electrons.
So they're using time itself as a measuring stick for these incredibly faint currents. That's mind-blowing. Okay, bring on technique number three. This is getting good. All right, the third one is the SSRM reference current-based module. And you can think of this one as a logarithmic detective. It specializes in measuring those super tiny currents, but over a vast range of magnitudes.
Okay, so this one sounds like it's particularly helpful for materials where the electrical properties can vary dramatically from one spot to another.
You got it. Imagine you're trying to examine a material that has both highly conductive regions and areas that are practically insulators.
Right.
This SSRM module can handle those massive variations and allows researchers to map out those differences with incredible precision. It's like having a super sensitive magnifying glass for electrical properties.
So we've got our three amazing tools, the versatile MFTIA, the precision-focused integrating current to voltage converter, and the SSRM module, our logarithmic detective for materials with wild variations. What I want to know is, what kind of new knowledge are these researchers uncovering with these tools? Are they just bragging about how small of a current they can measure, or are they making actual discoveries about the materials themselves?
Oh, they're definitely making discoveries. The paper goes into some fascinating tests they conducted using these tools. For instance, with the MFTIA, they mapped out the conductivity of different layers within a semiconductor calibration sample.
Okay. That sounds promising.
Right.
What about the other two techniques? Any standout results there?
Absolutely. They used the integrating CVC to image the surface of a highly ordered pyrolytic graphite or HOPG sample.
Okay.
And they found something really interesting.
Wait, HOPG? Wasn't that the material that's known for its interesting electrical properties?
Yes, it is. It's often used in electronics and research. What the researchers found was that even within this highly ordered material, there were distinct conductivity patterns at the nanoscale. They were able to materialize how the electrical properties varied even within tiny areas.
It's like they're zooming in on the material and seeing this whole world of electrical activity that we were blind to before.
Exactly. And to round things out, they use the SSRM module to examine a scratched copper alloy foil. With this technique, they were able to pinpoint the areas with varying conductivity caused by the scratches.
So even tiny imperfections in a material can have a big impact on how electricity flows through it. That's incredible. And they can actually see that with these tools. What I'm getting from all this is that these techniques aren't just about measuring tiny currents. They're about revealing the hidden electrical landscapes within materials, understanding how those landscapes influence the material's properties, and potentially even learning how to manipulate those properties.
Yeah.
Am I on the right track?
You're exactly right. And that's just the beginning. These techniques have the potential to revolutionize our understanding of materials at the most fundamental level. It's like we're just starting to scratch the surface of what's possible.
Okay, I'm officially on the edge of my seat. This is fascinating stuff.
I know, right? And we've only just begun to explore the possibilities. Let's take a deeper dive into the technical details of how these techniques actually work, shall we?
Lead the way. I'm ready to hear all about the inner workings of these amazing tools.
Let's start with that versatile MFTIA, the one we called the Swiss Army knife. Remember how it combines both CAFM and SSRM techniques?
Yeah, it's the one that can handle that huge range of currents.
Right. At the core of this system is a highly sensitive analog front end paired with an ADC driver. It's equipped with four linear feedback resistors with resistances ranging from 10 megaohms to 10 gigaohms.
Okay, I'm following so far, but refresh my memory. What exactly do resistors do?
Think of resistors like control valves for electrical current.
Okay.
They restrict the flow of current, and the amount of resistance determines how much the flow is limited. So in the MFTIA, these resistors play a crucial role in controlling the sensitivity of the measurements. By using different resistors, the researchers can adjust the system's sensitivity to match the strength of the current they're trying to measure.
That makes sense. So it's like they're tuning the instrument to make sure they can capture the full picture, whether it's a trickle of electrons or a much larger flow.
Exactly. And to enable that logarithmic current sensing in the SSRM mode, they incorporate a clever combination of diodes. This allows them to linearize the logarithmic detection, giving them a clear picture of the current flow, even when dealing with those vast ranges we talked about earlier.
It's impressive how they've integrated both linear and logarithmic measurements into a single device. It's like they've created a universal translator for the language of electrical currents.
What's even more remarkable is the sensitivity. The MFTIA can detect currents as low as 3 picoamperes. To put that in perspective, a picoampere is a trillionth of an amp. That's an incredibly small current.
Wow. Measuring currents that tiny is mind-boggling. It really highlights how far we've come in terms of precision and sensitivity in the world of nanotechnology. Now, what about that second technique, the integrating current to voltage converter? What makes that one so special?
Yes, the precision integrator. Remember how it uses time to measure those ultra-faint currents? Well, the key here is the integrating capacitor. The measured current charges or discharges this capacitor for a specific amount of time.
Right, it's like using a stopwatch to time the flow of electrons. Yeah. But how do they actually measure that charging or discharging process?
That's where the clever design comes in. The researchers actually based their integrating CVC on a commercially available integrated circuit, the Texas Instruments DDC-112. This chip is a dual-channel integrating CVC with a built-in 20-bit analog-to-digital converter.
So they're taking advantage of existing technology and repurposing it for these cutting-edge measurements. Very resourceful. What does the DDC-112 do exactly?
The DDC-112 is like a high-tech translator. It converts the analog signal from the capacitor, that's the changing voltage, into a digital signal that can be analyzed by a computer. And with its 20-bit resolution, it provides incredibly precise readings.
So they're getting a clear digital readout of the current flowing through this sample. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier that they can fine-tune the integration time and even change the value of the integrating capacitor. Why is that important?
That flexibility is crucial because it allows the researchers to tailor the system to the specific material and the current levels they're dealing with. They can adjust the settings to get the most accurate readings possible.
It's like they've created a customizable measuring tool that can be adapted to different research needs. Very impressive.
Mm.
Now, I'm curious about that third technique, the logarithmic detective. What's going on under the hood of that one?
The SSRM reference current-based module relies on a precision JF operational amplifier, which is known for its low power consumption and high impedance input stage.
Okay, but I have to admit those terms are a bit over my head. Can you break that down for me?
Of course. Basically, the operational amplifier, or op amp for short, is like the heart of the module. It amplifies the tiny electrical signal coming from the sample, making it much easier to measure. And because it has a high impedance input stage, it doesn't draw much current from the sample, which is important for maintaining the accuracy of the measurements. Think of it as a very sensitive and efficient amplifier.
So it's like they're using a tiny megaphone to boost the signal from those incredibly faint currents.
I like that analogy. What about the logarithmic response you mentioned earlier? How does that factor into all of this?
To achieve that logarithmic response, which, remember, allows them to measure currents over a vast range, they use a BA45 diode in the feedback loop of the transimpedance amplifier.
Okay, I'm going to need a little more explanation on that one. What's a feedback loop and how does the diode come into play?
A feedback loop is a clever way to control a system by feeding back some of its output as input. In this case, the BAV45 diode is part of the feedback loop, and it's what gives the module its logarithmic response.
So the diode is kind of like a shaping tool for the signal. It helps the module handle those wide variations in current strength.
Precisely. And to ensure they're measuring the true current flowing through the sample and not picking up on any stray signals or background noise, they use an instrumentation amplifier to subtract a reference current.
So they're filtering out the noise to get a clean and accurate reading of the current. Clever. What happens to this signal after that? After the reference current is subtracted, the signal is amplified even further to make it easier to analyze. And finally, it's fed into an 18-bit ADC board for digital processing.
Okay, so that's how they get from those super tiny currents flowing through the sample to a digital signal that can be displayed and analyzed.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much sophisticated technology is packed into these modules.
It really is. And the results speak for themselves. These modules are capable of revealing incredibly detailed information about the electrical properties of materials at the nanoscale.
We've talked a lot about the inner workings of these techniques, but now I'm really curious about the real-world applications. Did the researchers put these modules to the test on actual materials?
Absolutely. They conducted a series of experiments that showcased the power of these techniques. One that I found particularly interesting involved using the SSRM module to examine a copper alloy foil that had been mechanically scratched and then selectively polished in certain areas.
So they were looking at how those surface treatments affected the electrical conductivity of the material.
Exactly, and what they found was fascinating. The SSRM module clearly showed that the polished areas exhibited significantly higher conductivity compared to the untreated areas.
So even though the scratches might have been visible to the naked eye, the SSRM module was able to detect those subtle variations in conductivity at the nanoscale.
Precisely, and those variations were quite significant. The polished areas exhibited conductivity levels almost 3 orders of magnitude higher than the unpolished areas.
Wow, 3 orders of magnitude. That's a huge difference. It really highlights the sensitivity and precision of these techniques. Are there any other examples where they use these tools to uncover those hidden electrical worlds within materials?
Yes. Another captivating test involved using the integrating CVC to image the surface of a highly ordered pyrolytic graphite, HOPG, sample.
Right. The material with those unique electrical properties, what did they find?
Well, HOPG is made up of layers of graphene, which are single-atom thick sheets of carbon arranged in a honeycomb pattern. Graphene is known for its incredible electrical conductivity, but what the researchers were really interested in was how the conductivity varied across the surface of the HOPG sample at the nanoscale.
So they're essentially mapping the electrical landscape of the HOPG surface in incredible detail.
You got it. And what they found was that even within this seemingly uniform material, there were distinct patterns of conductivity. The electrical properties of the HOPG varied significantly even within very small areas.
It's like looking at a map of a city at night. Some areas are brightly lit while others are darker, and with these tools, they can see that electrical landscape in a material at the atomic level.
That's a great analogy. And this ability to see these nanoscale variations in conductivity is crucial for understanding how materials behave and for developing new technologies.
It's clear that these tools are revolutionizing the way we study materials. What's really striking me is that we're not just measuring tiny currents anymore. We're gaining insights into the fundamental electrical behavior of materials at the atomic level. And those insights have the potential to transform a wide range of fields.
You're absolutely right. And the research team at Rokha University isn't stopping there. They're continuing to develop even more advanced nanoscale electrical characterization techniques.
It seems like we're just at the beginning of a revolution in our understanding of the electrical world at the nanoscale. What other hidden worlds do you think these tools might unlock in the future?
That's a great question. The possibilities are truly vast. We could see breakthroughs in everything from material science to medicine. It's an incredibly exciting time to be following this field.
Well, before we get too carried away with speculating about the future, let's dive back into the specifics of these groundbreaking techniques. I'm particularly interested in that MFTIA, the one that combines CAFM and SSRM modes. How exactly do they manage to integrate those two techniques into a single device?
That's a great question. The key to the MFTIA's versatility lies in its clever design. They've incorporated a switching network that allows them to seamlessly switch between CAFM and SSRM modes without having to physically change any hardware.
So it's like having two microscopes in one. They can choose the best mode for the job depending on what they're trying to measure.
Exactly. And the switching network uses a technique called Kelvin switching, which helps to minimize errors and maintain the accuracy of the measurements.
So they've not only addressed the sensitivity and range of the measurements, but also the practical aspects of using the instrument. It sounds like they've thought of everything.
It's a testament to their dedication and ingenuity. They've created a tool that's both powerful and user-friendly, which is essential for researchers who are pushing the boundaries of scientific knowledge.
I'm incredibly impressed by what these researchers at Roll Call University have accomplished. They are making significant contributions to the field of nanoscale electrical measurements. I can't wait to see what they come up with next.
Me neither. Their work is a true inspiration. Now, before we move on, let's pause for a moment and reflect on what we've learned so far about these extraordinary techniques and the incredible discoveries they're enabling.
Sounds good to me. We've covered a lot of ground from the intricate details of how these modules work to the fascinating results they're producing. It's time to delve deeper into those results and explore what they mean for the future of material science and beyond.
I'm ready when you are. Let's continue our journey into the nano world. Welcome back to our exploration of the nano world.
I'm still marveling at the level of detail these researchers are uncovering. It's like they've given us a superpower to see the electrical activity within materials at the atomic level.
It's truly remarkable, and as we've seen, their work is not just about theoretical advancements. They're applying these techniques to examine a variety of real-world materials, gaining practical insights that could have a huge impact on technology.
You're right. We talked about the copper alloy foil and the HOPG sample, but I'm curious about other examples from their research. Did they explore any other materials with these techniques?
They did. In one experiment, they used the MFTIA to examine a layered semiconductor calibration sample. This sample was designed with layers that had varying levels of doping.
Okay, hold on. Remind me what doping means in this context.
Doping is a process used in semiconductor manufacturing to change the electrical properties of a material. It involves intentionally introducing impurities into the material to either increase or decrease the number of charge carriers, which are the particles that carry electrical current.
So by adding these impurities, they can fine-tune the conductivity of the semiconductor material. That makes sense. What did they learn about this layered sample using the MFTIA?
What they found was that the MFTIA could clearly distinguish between the layers with different doping levels. It essentially created an electrical map of the material's layered structure, showing how the conductivity changed from one layer to the next.
So they were able to see not just the physical structure of the layers, but also how those layers differed in terms of their electrical properties. It's like they're peeling back the layers of an onion, but instead of seeing different colors, they're seeing different levels of conductivity.
That's a great way to put it. And this kind of information is essential for understanding how semiconductors behave and how to optimize their performance in electronic devices.
This is really driving home the point that these tools are about so much more than just measuring tiny currents. They're providing a whole new level of insight into the structure and function of materials.
Exactly. And the researchers didn't stop at just mapping the conductivity of the layered sample. They also used the MFTIA to measure the current flowing through the sample at various points. This allowed them to visualize the actual distribution of current within the material.
So they could see not only where the current was flowing, but also how much current was flowing in different areas. It's like having X-ray vision for electrons.
You got it. And this ability to visualize the flow of current is incredibly valuable for understanding a wide range of phenomena. It could help researchers optimize the design of electronic components, develop more efficient solar cells, or even unlock the secrets of superconductivity.
Okay, we've talked a lot about the scientific breakthroughs and the incredible capabilities of these techniques, but I'm also curious about the practical implications. How could these advancements be used to create real-world solutions to the problems we face?
That's a great question. One area where this research holds immense promise is in the development of new and more efficient solar cells.
That's exciting. Solar energy is going to play such a crucial role in our transition to a more sustainable future. How could these nanoscale measurements help improve solar cell technology?
Well, the key to efficient solar cells is maximizing the conversion of sunlight into electricity. And that process depends heavily on the electrical properties of the materials used in the solar cell.
I can see how that would be important. The more efficiently a solar cell can convert sunlight into electricity, the more power it can generate.
Precisely. And by using techniques like CAFM and SSRM, researchers can study the electrical behavior of different solar cell materials in exquisite detail.
So they can identify areas where the current flow is hindered or where energy is being lost.
Exactly. They can pinpoint areas of high resistance or identify defects that are reducing the efficiency of the solar cell. With this information, they can then work on engineering new materials or modifying existing ones to improve the overall performance.
So they're essentially using these nanoscale tools to optimize the electrical pathways within the solar cell, making sure the current can flow as freely and efficiently as possible. It's like fine-tuning the engine of a car to get the best possible mileage.
That's a great analogy. And the potential benefits are enormous. More efficient solar cells mean we can generate more electricity from the same amount of sunlight, making solar energy even more competitive with fossil fuels.
It's inspiring to see how this fundamental research could have such a direct impact on our efforts to combat climate change.
And the applications extend beyond just solar energy. These techniques are also being used to develop new and improved electronic devices.
That makes sense. As our electronic devices get smaller and more complex,
right,
we need to understand the electrical properties of materials at increasingly finer scales.
Absolutely. For instance, these techniques are being used to study the behavior of transistors, which are the fundamental building blocks of modern electronics.
So they're essentially looking at how electrons move through those tiny switches at the atomic level.
Precisely. And by understanding this behavior in detail, they can work on optimizing the design of transistors to make them faster, more energy efficient, and more reliable.
It's incredible to think about how these nanoscale measurements are having such a profound impact on the technology we use every day.
And it doesn't stop there. These advancements are also pushing the boundaries of quantum technologies.
Quantum technologies. Now we're really getting into futuristic territory.
Indeed. Quantum technologies exploit the strange and often counterintuitive laws of quantum mechanics to perform tasks that are simply impossible with classical computers.
I've heard about quantum computers, but I have to admit, I'm still struggling to wrap my head around the concept.
It's a complex field, but the basic idea is that quantum computers utilize quantum bits or qubits, which can exist in a superposition of states. This means they can be both 0 and 1 at the same time, allowing them to perform calculations much faster than traditional computers for certain types of problems.
So how do these nanoscale electrical measurements factor into quantum technologies?
Well, one of the major challenges in developing quantum technologies is controlling and manipulating those delicate quantum states. And that's where techniques like CAFM and SSRM come in. They allow researchers to study the electrical properties of materials at the atomic level, which is crucial for understanding how to create and control these quantum states.
So they're essentially using these tools to probe the quantum world.
Exactly. And this research is already leading to exciting breakthroughs in areas like quantum computing, quantum sensing, and quantum communication.
It's truly amazing how these nanoscale electrical measurements are opening up new frontiers in science and technology. It feels like we're witnessing the birth of a new era.
I completely agree. The work being done at Rokko University is a testament to human ingenuity and our relentless pursuit of knowledge. Now, as we delve further into the potential of these discoveries, let's take a moment to appreciate the crucial role of precision in these nanoscale measurements.
Precision, of course. When you're dealing with measurements at the atomic level, even the slightest errors could completely skew the results.
You're absolutely right. And that's why the researchers have taken extraordinary steps to ensure the accuracy and reliability of their techniques. They have meticulously calibrated their instruments, implemented sophisticated noise reduction strategies, and developed robust data analysis methods.
So they're not just relying on the raw data from the instruments. They're applying their expertise to interpret and validate the results, making sure they're getting a clear and accurate picture of what's happening at the nanoscale.
Precisely. They've taken a holistic approach to these measurements, recognizing that every step in the process, from sample preparation to data analysis, is crucial for obtaining meaningful and trustworthy results.
It's a testament to their dedication as scientists. They're not just collecting data, they're building a solid foundation of knowledge that will pave the way for future discoveries.
Well said. And that foundation is absolutely essential for expanding our understanding of the electrical world at the nanoscale and for translating that knowledge into groundbreaking technologies. As we move toward the final part of our deep dive, I want to leave you with a thought-provoking question. What other hidden worlds do you think these tools could unlock?
What other hidden worlds? That's an exciting question. I'm picturing realms of scientific knowledge that we haven't even begun to explore yet. Perhaps even realms where the laws of physics as we currently understand them might be challenged.
Your imagination is on the right track. The work at Rokko University isn't just about measuring tiny currents. It's about expanding the frontiers of human knowledge, about peering into the very fabric of reality.
It's a humbling thought and incredibly inspiring.
Indeed. And it reminds us that the pursuit of knowledge is an endless journey full of wonders waiting to be discovered. Now let's take a moment to gather our thoughts before we enter the final part of our deep dive into the fascinating world of nanoscale electrical measurements.
Welcome back to the deep dive. That question about other hidden worlds has really gotten me thinking. It's incredible to think about all the mysteries out there just waiting to be solved.
It really is. And as we've seen from the work at Rokko University, being able to measure electrical currents at the nanoscale is a key that could unlock many of those mysteries.
We've touched on solar cells, electronics, and even quantum technologies, but I can't help but feel like we're only scratching the surface of what's possible.
You're absolutely right. Consider material science, for example. These techniques could completely revolutionize our understanding of how materials behave at their most fundamental level.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How could these tools transform the world of material science?
Imagine being able to map the electrical properties of a brand new material with atomic precision. You could pinpoint defects, impurities, or even tiny variations in conductivity that would be completely invisible with traditional methods.
So it's like having a quality control system that operates at the level of individual atoms.
Exactly. And this information would be invaluable for developing new materials with specific properties. We could create materials that are stronger, lighter, more durable, or even possess entirely new functionalities.
It's like having a nanoscale toolbox for engineering the materials of the future. What an incredible thought.
And the implications go far beyond just creating new materials. We could use these techniques to study existing materials in unprecedented detail. Imagine the possibilities for improving everything from the batteries in our electric cars to the materials used in aircraft or spacecraft.
It's fascinating how these tools are bridging the gap between the microscopic world of atoms and the macroscopic world of the materials we use every single day.
And that bridge is absolutely essential for driving innovation and tackling some of the biggest challenges facing our planet.
You know, all this talk about materials and electronics has me thinking about another area where these techniques could have a huge impact. Medicine.
That's an intriguing thought. What kind of medical applications are you envisioning?
Well, what if we could use these tools to study the electrical activity of individual cells or even molecules within the human body?
That would certainly open up extraordinary possibilities for both diagnostics and treatment. Imagine being able to detect diseases at their earliest stages, even before any symptoms appear. Or consider the potential for developing highly targeted therapies that operate at the cellular level.
It's like having a nanoscale electrician working inside the human body, identifying and repairing electrical faults that could lead to disease.
That's a powerful image. And while there are certainly challenges to overcome in applying these techniques to living organisms, the potential benefits are immense.
I find it incredibly exciting to think about a future where we can harness these nanoscale electrical measurements to improve human health and well-being in such profound ways.
And at the end of the day, that's what all this research is really about, isn't it? It's about pushing the boundaries of knowledge and then using that knowledge to make a positive impact on the world.
Absolutely. As we wrap up our deep dive into the world of nanoscale electrical measurements, I'm left with a sense of awe and a renewed appreciation for the power of scientific curiosity.
Me too. The researchers at Rokko University have made incredible strides in this field, and their work is a beacon illuminating a path toward a future filled with possibilities that we can only begin to imagine.
I think the biggest takeaway from our exploration is that the world at the nanoscale is a place of wonder, and that the tools we're developing to explore that world are yielding groundbreaking discoveries.
And remember, those discoveries aren't just interesting scientific tidbits. They hold the potential to transform our world from revolutionizing the technologies we rely on to reshaping our understanding of the universe itself.
So to our listeners, I urge you to keep that spark of curiosity alive. Never stop exploring, and never be afraid to ask questions. Who knows what other hidden worlds are out there just waiting to be discovered?
And always remember that the pursuit of knowledge is a journey we're all on together. By embracing curiosity and the power of scientific inquiry, we can unlock the secrets of the nano world and beyond.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring.